Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. Within two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And the whole earth was full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice, the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. I'm going to start by being honest and just saying up front that I have never really been crazy about that image of fishing for men, even when it is changed to the slightly softer version, catching people. I guess it boils down to a feeling that I don't want to be caught. I don't want to be anyone's target or fill anyone's quota, And I really don't want to think of activities and services that the church provides as bait for unsuspecting people we are trying to snag in our nets somehow. It all sounds kind of icky and manipulative to me. And I didn't even come from a church background where this kind of language has been weaponized. So I struggle with today's gospel a bit, especially that last section. Of course, that struggle always is an invitation to go deeper, not to try to rationalize or apologize for Scripture, but to see what my own discomfort is trying to tell me, and then to move forward from there. As so often happens when I go a little deeper, the part of the story that I find most engaging is the interaction between Jesus and Simon Peter, especially when Jesus wants him to head out into deep water and cast his nets again, and Peter finally puts up just a little bit of resistance. If we were directing a theatrical version of this episode, we'd have to decide the speaker's tone when he says, "If you say so, I will let down the nets." Presumably there's respect there because he calls Jesus master. But was there also resignation? All right, I'll do it. Exasperation? Was it easier to do it, even though he knows it's going to fail, than to try to talk this guy out of his crazy plan? Is Peter humoring Jesus with the full expectation that in an hour or two after much fruitless fishing, he'll get to say, "I told you so"? If that's what he's expecting, he's in for a shock. Not only his own nets, but even the combined capacity of two boats cannot hold all the fish that they catch. So, is that it? Is the whole message of this passage just supposed to be that we'll get lots of goodies in life if we only do what Jesus tells us? Gosh, I hope not. I really think there's more to it than that. For one thing, we don't preach the prosperity gospel here. We don't promise that if we just follow the rules and do as we're told, we will be rewarded with whatever our hearts desire, even if that's just a whole lot more fish. That kind of magical thinking is dangerous and too often leads to victim blaming. So just the logic of it, if we believe that good people are rewarded, then it follows that the person with the most fish must be the best person, and that if you don't have any fish, it means you've done something wrong. This way of seeing life is not supported by our basic theological understanding of a God who loves us so much that he willingly became a poor, itinerant worker in an obscure, oppressed part of the world. And it isn't really supported by our experience of life, or at least for most of us. The reality, rather, is that we live in a world where the just and the righteous are not always rewarded, where the good guys don't always win. Furthermore, we're in a moment right now that many of us are finding especially frightening and precarious, and we're pretty sure that the biggest catch of fish in the world is not going to be enough to buy us a secure and healthy future. For all of us who are feeling afraid or overwhelmed or burned out or just exhausted, I think the place where Jesus meets us in this story is exactly that moment when he asks Peter to push out into deeper water, and Peter says in his nice, polite way, "Give me a break. I'm just so tired. I've tried that already, and it didn't work." I can relate. I imagine we've all had those moments of just wanting to throw in the towel because, dear Lord, haven't we worked hard enough already? It is so counterintuitive to try again to not give in, to keep going even in the face of emptiness and exhaustion. And yet this story is suggesting that sometimes you have to listen to that quiet voice asking you to go deeper, to push out just once more, even when our nets are empty and our spirits depleted. God never says that it's going to be easy or that the outcome is guaranteed, but God does promise to be in the boat with us, especially if we're willing to head out into deep water where the real work gets done. In most ancient Mediterranean cultures, deep water is a symbol of chaos. There are monsters and dragons and sea creatures lurking in those fathomless depths. Those ideas may sound a little silly or primitive, but if you've ever been in deep water yourself and had that sudden feeling of dread, of realizing that you have no idea what is underneath you or how far down it all goes, you might not be so quick to scoff. In today's world, though, going deep can be hard to do. We live in a culture of surfaces, of superficialities, of the hot take and the immediate backlash. We have lost or are losing our capacity to sit with uncertainty and discomfort, to take our time, to practice discernment. Going deep means we might uncover things in ourselves or in the world around us that we can't control or contain. Deep griefs and deep longings, sighs too deep for words. And yet that is also where we find the presence of God. That's what happened to Simon Peter when he listened to Jesus and pushed out into the deep. The fish were never the point. That moment of recognition, of falling on his knees because he realized he was in the presence of the Holy, that was the point for Peter, as it is for all of us too. I think it's common knowledge that fishing for a living is hard, messy, dangerous work. And I'm guessing that's one of the things that Jesus loved most about the people who depended on fishing for their livelihoods. Jesus seems drawn to the difficult, messy parts of our lives. When we, as individuals and as church, are willing to go deeper, we can be sure that it's going to get a little messy. We will make mistakes. We will need to learn from one another and offer each other grace. We'll need to help clean and mend nets, to haul up the catch together, to pass along our knowledge and share what we've learned. Circling back to that troubling line about catching people, I find myself wondering something. So what if Jesus isn't asking the church to catch people in that sense of landing them in a net or a trap, but rather to catch people in the sense of catching them when they fall? What if Jesus is just showing us what it looks like to be the safety net for one another, to hold us fast and keep us close, to not let anyone be out on the sea alone? There's an old fisherman's prayer that goes something like, "O God, be good to me. Your sea is so great and my boat so small." Most of us have probably uttered some version of this prayer in moments of stress and hardship, even if it just feels like, "Help!" It might help sometimes to remember that we're not actually meant to be out on the sea alone. The image of the boat is one of the oldest representations of the church in Christian iconography. We're all supposed to be in the boat together, especially when times are hard. And Christ, Jesus, has promised to be right there with us, helping us to haul in our nets when they're full and finding coves for shelter when the seas get too rough. First, though, we have to be willing to push out into the deep. Willingness is the name of a reflection by Pastor Steve Garness Holmes, and I'd like to leave you with just a few words from that. Willingness. A beckoning deeper than words comes to you, an incoming tide, a hunger not your own, a hankering greater than all of us. A great shoal of possibilities swims just beneath your knowing. You cast your control of things into the mysterious waters. The net of holiness is not belief or understanding, but willingness. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
We pray for all your faithful people and those who are called to lead, that we may walk in your way of love and manifest your light to the world. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for all nations of the world, that those in authority will work toward peace and equity for all their people. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for people everywhere, that their lives may be full, that their families may be secure, and that their hearts be filled with your peace. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for the city of Davis and for Yolo County, that neighbors care for neighbors, creating a truly loving community for all. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for those who are suffering in ways that are known or hidden to us. We pray for those who struggle mightily in this life and for those whose light is dimming. We pray for those who are ill and those who care for them. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for all those who have been called into eternal life with you, and thank you for the light they brought to the world. May light perpetual shine upon them, Lord,
and may your memories be a blessing.
Gracious and loving God, we come before you with no gifts but ourselves. Accept and receive our lives so that we may be manifestations of your presence. We ask that you let the light of your Spirit shine within and among us, so that we may share in the mystery of your purpose of blessing for all creation, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please rise. The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. I'll try that again. Good morning. We have a lot of announcements in our yellow sheet today. We have a really lovely music note about the anthem. It's always really nice to hear, to read about music that we're hearing and even singing. Some is about, I think it just adds that like extra knowledge is a way of appreciating what we do, right? So that's in here as it is most weeks. We have information about some things coming up. We've got more potlucks. We have a guest preacher in a couple of weeks who's also going to stay after the 10 o'clock service to give a presentation. So I hope you'll read about that and mark your calendars for that. Several things happening in that, I think that's the next to the last week of February, around the 19th and 20th, that are on here. Some things out in the community, some things happening here at St. Martin's. I won't read through it all, but I hope you're taking a look at this. Don't forget that if you would like to go to one of the potlucks, you need to sign up because they do fill up fast and people are really enjoying them. If you're new and you don't know people, that's actually who we want to go to these potlucks, is people who are just getting to know people. So be brave and sign up, and I hope that you will really, really enjoy yourself. I would say the other thing that I just wanted to make sure you kind of are starting to mark your calendars for is we're actually getting pretty close to Lent. We have a nice long Epiphany season this year, but still, it is coming up soon. And so we're beginning to explain our plans for Wednesday nights, which will be an ecumenical undertaking that I'm really excited about, and then also for Sunday mornings. I see that our ushers are in the back. And if you are new here, if this is your first service, or if you've just started coming, we have welcome bags. They're goodie bags. You have to raise your hand just so they know to bring one to you. But it's worth doing because there's chocolate as well as other information. I think that's still true. I hope I'm not telling something that's not true. We got rid of the chocolate or something. So do raise your hand so an usher can come around to you. Were there celebrations or milestones? Do we have celebrations or milestones that people would like to share? I need to start bringing a microphone up again because people can't hear you. But, oh, up here, yes. It's your birthday today? Oh, wow. So we got a birthday way in back. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So remembering an important anniversary, John Dolan.
Your daughter. I was born in as a lawyer.
Woo-hoo! Yes. Annabelle was sworn. Yeah. My daughter, you're a lawyer. Okay, whatever. Annabelle was sworn in as to the California State Bar. Tim. Valentine's Day birthday. Oh, that's fun. Okay, Pierre. Your birthday was yesterday. Well, happy birthday. Okay, wait. Gabe is pointing. Is there somebody in back? Russell? Yes. Wow, a very happy birthday to you. Yes.
I just want to say my daughter Karen's visiting today. Oh. And my grandchild Jamie was baptized here by Mark Allen.
Oh, well, welcome. Yeah, so nice to have you. You can get a welcome bag too if you want one. I mean, you've been here before, but it's been a while. I have a special request that I have made of the choir. We have a lot of birthdays today, which is really nice and really fun that we're celebrating. Next weekend, I won't be in church. My dad is turning 90. And some of you know my dad because he's online a lot. I'm hoping he's online right now. And some of you know him because when he comes to visit, he really loves coming to church. He lives down in Southern California. And he was baptized here at St. Martin's by me just a few years ago. So I've asked if the choir would sing Happy Birthday to David. And everyone. We'd like everyone to sing, not just them. That made me very happy. I hope it made him happy too. Happy birthday, Dad. Let's see. Other than that, just a reminder about how we do communion here. We have two stations up front. We're going to be putting out some information about changes that we're going to try during Lent. But for today, doing it the same way we've been doing it for a while, you come forward down the center aisle and you choose which side. On this side, I intinct the bread and hand it into your open hand. And on this side, the bread and the chalice are separate. It is gluten-free, vegan bread, so there's no distinction. Everybody gets the same thing. And I just warn people that it's not uniform. Sometimes you'll get a bigger piece, sometimes you'll get a smaller piece. And that's just what bread is like. It's messy and it's delicious and it's wonderful. So all are welcome to receive communion. You can come forward and cross your arms, indicating you would just like to receive a blessing. Or if you can't make it up here, just let an usher know and we'll bring communion to you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For in these last days you sent Jesus to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Christ you have delivered us from evil, and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior, Jesus Christ, took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember Christ's death. We proclaim Christ's resurrection. We await Christ's coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Savior of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through whom we are acceptable to you, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Blessed Martin and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your children, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Oh,
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. May Christ, the Son of God, be manifest in you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be.